Here's a headline for you. Glaciers in the Himalayas have shrunk by as much as a fifth in the last 3 decades. That's the finding of the Nepal-based International Center for Integrated Mountain Development in what's thought to be the most comprehensive assessment of Himalayan ice melting. And that concerns David Brashears. David is founder of the nonprofit Glacier Works, but you also may know him as a mountaineer and filmmaker. He spends a lot of time in this region where there are 35,000 glaciers, the largest concentration outside of the poles. One of David's latest projects is to photograph and compare these glaciers side by side, photos of historic photos and new ones in order to show how the glaciers are changing. He has an upcoming exhibit at MIT just back from Tibet where he was taking more pictures. So, David, some people call this area the third pole. Remind us why we should be worried that the ice is melting there.
Well, when you think of the region, in the northern edge of the range is China and Tibet. So there's 1.3 billion people. In the southern edge of the range, you have India, 1.2 billion people. In Pakistan, you have 180 million people, roughly. Now, that's almost 40% of our Earth's population, and we're not including Nepal and Bhutan and Bangladesh. So these glaciers provide the first pulse of fresh, pure water into big river systems, the Indus, the Ganga, the Brahmaputra, the Karnali, the Sutlej, and the Yangtze and the Yellow Rivers. All have their headwaters either in the Himalayan range or on the Tibetan plateau. And the water that these glaciers provide runs into people's fields. It's their drinking water. It's drinking water that's used for industry. So understanding how these glaciers are responding to climate change is not really, for me, out of a concern for a glacier. It's out of concern for the people and cultures that need that water.
Well, tell us about some of the things that you've seen. We said you were a climber. It's sort of such an understatement. You've been to, you've summited Everest 5 times and recently went with a frontline crew for a documentary retracing the steps of the mountaineer George Mallory. Now, he'd taken a picture of the north face of Everest in 1921. You went back to the same area. Compare.
The glacier I was looking at, it was unfamiliar to the glacier in the old photograph. It was complete devastation. Lakes were forming on it. It had melted or ablated vertically, you know, over the height of a 30-35-story building.
Well, we're going to have some of those images at our website, and we'll talk about the exhibitions you've had around the world. But just another comparison. One of the pictures is, it looks like a curved riverbed. And the first picture, it's full of white tufts of snow. And then what do we see in the second? Compare those two.
We see a lake. We see a big lake. It's at the base of Choyoyu. I mean, these are big mountains, okay, and these are high glaciers, and one would think they're immutable. And so to see this glacier not only having melted but to be now a big lake was just such a shock.
Tell us more about this idea of comparing photographs.
The very first record of most glaciers in the Himalaya is a photograph from an early adventurer, you know, scientist, mountaineer. Some of our photos date back to 1899. So we find the exact position. Sometimes we're standing on the same pile of rocks. We can see they've left a pile of rocks. It's 110 years old. And sometimes it's pretty hard. When you're climbing up to 21,000 feet to get a photo, you don't want to be on the wrong mountain to get the match photo.
Oh, darn, we have to go back down.
We had to on this last trip.
Really?
We were on the wrong place. We weren't too pleased about it. But when we do get it right, we have a perfect match. And we measure with a laser rangefinder the amount, the distance from where the glacier was to where it is now. And we're not scientists, but this evidence is irrefutable. And it's as simple as that. Yeah. I walk around with a 100-year-old photo, find the same place, take the same picture, put them side by side. There's the evidence.
Well, and you're taking these pictures around. How do people react? I'm thinking you have an exhibit in Beijing. It's called Coal and Ice. You showed us a picture. We see kids playing in front of a huge historic photo of a glacier that's been projected on a wall. That's the before. And then the after version where you see this melting close-up. You mentioned how many people are in China. We've been talking recently on the program about how there is some movement towards thinking a little bit about sustainability in China. But how did people react to this?
It's been a spectacular success, the exhibit. Tremendous amount of press, and what makes us very proud, a tremendous amount of school groups going there and understanding what's happening to this vital area. And in China in particular, they have the capability to take action because they don't have our political system, obviously. And
they
and
decide they want to, they will.
Yes, right. And the Chinese will act out of pure pragmatism. What they want is a stable population. And a stable population needs water. It needs a lack of pollution in the rivers. So they're starting dialogues, and I think they're going to find a way to show leadership. And there's so little leadership wherever we look in this issue.
Meanwhile, what's happening right now because of these melts for the people who live right there?
Right now, things are still fairly stable. You know, there's plenty of water.
Right.
When the glaciers are melting,
there is
enough water.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, what has happened, and I don't want to draw the link, you know, directly to climate change. Some of this would have happened naturally, is called a GLOF. It's a glacier lake outburst flood. And it's when a big lake forms in the tongue of a glacier, and then it overflows its banks. And a massive lake mixed with a slurry of mud and ice starts plowing down a valley. Well, it takes out villages. It takes out roads. So that is probably the biggest immediate threat.
Just remind us, why is this area so important and so powerful and such a challenge for people? And what's it like to see it so changed?
It's a place we can project so many things. The highest mountain on Earth, Everest is 29,028 feet high. But to see it change, it's on a personal level, it's heartbreaking because in some places where a beautiful photo was taken 80 years ago, there's a hole in the ground. But what's really hard is that how long it's taking all of us to come around and respond to the challenge of climate change and the level of either willful ignorance or actual ignorance about the science. And that's what I really see when I'm there. I see mountains changing, yes. But what I really see behind all of that is where is the leadership and where is the action?
That's filmmaker, photographer, mountaineer David Brashears, executive director and founder of Glacier Works. David, thanks as always.
You're very welcome.
Okay, tomorrow on Here and Now, the U.S. interned over 100,000 Japanese Americans during World War II. We'll hear from one. He's now better known as Star Trek's Sulu. That's tomorrow. Up next, best cookbooks of the year, Here and Now.